Welcome, Richard. It's great to have you with us today, a return guest. Okay. We are going to be talking about best music biographies. This week's show, as the listeners know, we've talked about and listened to Steven Tyler, who's been absolutely everywhere on all the TV shows this week. We talked about Sammy Hagar and also Bob Dylan, who I cannot believe he is turning 70. Oh, my God. But anyway, I was wanting you to weigh in on music bios you've read recently and would recommend.
Well, I was really fascinated by the Keith Richards biography, autobiography, that came out recently. In fact, I started reading it, and then I got the audio version of it, and the audio version was tremendous, although it was a little flawed. First of all, the first thing that was exciting about it was that Keith seems to have had a pretty decent memory, which is amazing considering his consumption of pharmaceuticals over the years.
And a pretty spectacular fall out of a tree, right?
Yes, indeed. I landed on his head. But his co-writer, whose name escapes me right now, was excellent and really did a good job. But Keith, if you've ever heard him in an interview, he's not a dummy by any stretch of the imagination, and he's not as inarticulate as his appearance might indicate. He actually is a very, very, very intelligent guy. So that was extremely compelling. The reason that the audio version was flawed, in my mind, was that it had two different readers. One was Johnny Depp. And you would expect from Johnny Depp, wow, Johnny Depp, this is going to be great. But he was very low-key and actually mispronounced a few words, which was shocking. And then the rest of the book, the majority of the book, was read by this other fellow whose name escapes me, but I'm sure you can look up. And he was terrific. He performed the book in a number of voices, and sometimes it was a bit much, but when you would go from a transition from the Johnny Depp part to this guy, you'd almost get whiplash because it was so different. But that was good, and the book was very well worth reading. Now, there's some classic music biographies over the years. There's a biography from Albert Goldman about John Lennon that was pretty controversial when it came out, and it's sort of been discredited, but not really. A lot of the material about his life in New York with Yoko during those years before they came out with Double Fantasy was based on information provided by sort of the household help. And, you know, Yoko didn't really like anything that took away from the image of, you know, St. John Lennon that she's been careful to cultivate over the years. So she's tried her best to discredit that. And Goldman wasn't always the most scrupulous of researchers. But still, if any of it was true, it's just a fascinating portrait of how they lived during that time. And also, there's a pretty good accounting of Lennon's quote-unquote lost weekend, where he was estranged from Yoko. And it's another instance of Yoko trying to sort of bury that under the rug. But his sourcing was much better than previous stuff. His sourcing on that was May Pang, who was his companion, who was set up, actually, as his companion by none other than Yoko Ono. So figure that one out. Goldman also did a biography on Elvis that the sourcing on that was pretty much his cousins and relatives, and that's considered to be fairly authoritative. And a lot of the image that Elvis has, you know, the peanut butter and manner sandwiches and, you know, the drug use and things like that is specifically derived from the Goldman book. Very interesting.
And do you remember the name of the Elvis one?
I think it was Elvis What Happened. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
I can look that up. And the Lennon book was called The Lives of John Lennon.
Lives, plural, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so if...
But, you know, there's different types of these musician biographies. The easiest one, and frequently the most common one, is kind of a clip job, where they sort of take all the recent clippings of a celebrity or a musician, and they assemble a biography on that. And frequently, there's no really good sourcing, no original materials, but it's a quickie. So, for example, if if you're looking for a biography of, say, Justin Bieber, chances are it's not going to have a great amount of depth and analysis and sourcing and research involved. It's going to look at interviews he's given. It's going to look at journalism. It's going to look at that kind of stuff, and it's going to be reconstructed based on that type of thing. And that's really, you know, maybe 20 years from now, if Bieber has a career that lasts, maybe somebody will go back and do something that's worthwhile, that's really journalism, that interviews people and has original material in there as opposed to clip jobs. So there's that. There's also sort of the celebrity autobiography where the musician, maybe they've got a ghostwriter, maybe they're working with them, but they're sort of phoning it in and they're not really spending a lot of time, or they're trying to sort of get their own story out. And that's, of course, not terribly worthwhile either. I mean, that's not a real good thing. And then you've got some of these guys who are trying to get their own story out, and they have an actual writer involved. Paul McCartney, for example, had at least two biographies by this guy named Barry Miles that he worked very closely with. And it's his spin on things.
Why two? Why two biographies?
Well, I think one of them was his early years, and one of them was his later years.
Okay.
Maybe it was revised. I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I'm not really sure.
All right.
Well, Goldman's biography was just called Elvis, by the way.
Okay.
And then, you know, you also get these other biographies that are, you know, they're okay, but the guy's been dead for a long time, and they have to kind of put it back together, so they have to look and see what's been written before, and they paraphrase. And I've read some on Miles Davis that were sort of interesting, where some of the material that was used for the sourcing was Miles Davis's biography, which he later disavowed. His autobiography that he later disavowed. So how do you like that one? Where you disavow your own autobiography? But that's not unique. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys did that also. He did an autobiography when he was under the care of that controversial psychologist or psychiatrist that he had, and then later disavowed the whole autobiography and said it was nonsense and it was completely untrue.
Hmm. Well,
but you get, there are some figures in music who are subject to numerous biographies. There's got to be about 10 of them on Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. There's got to be at least as many on Pete Townsend and The Who. And just recently, like this past week, there's been an announcement that Townsend's biography is coming out. It was subject to a bidding war, and it's going to be coming out, I believe, by HarperCollins. So that's going to be really interesting, because Pete Townsend of The Who is one of the more literate, intelligent, thoughtful of the musicians out there, and he's seen a lot. And he's gone through a lot, and exactly how much he remembers, of course, is always an open question. But as Keith Richard proved, good Lord, somebody who's consumed more pharmaceuticals than anyone has a right to do seems to have come up with an autobiography that is really worthwhile and really worth reading.
So is the Pete Townsend one an autobiography, or is someone writing it for it? Autobiography.
Yes, it's an autobiography. There's been a number of biographies of Townsend, several of them, and some of them are really, really good. But this is an autobiography, and he's been working on it for quite a while.
Did Roger Daltrey, has he written an autobiography, or has there been a book?
He has not. He has not, and I would be astonished if he ever would. Daltrey and Townsend are two different individuals. Townsend is a much more introspective, reflective, thoughtful, insightful kind of guy, and Daltrey is very intelligent, but it's most of his perceptions and things are on the surface. He's not a terribly deep guy.
So did George and Ringo write their biographies as well?
Well, I don't know about Ringo. I would tend to doubt it. And he's had a lot of substance abuse problems and things like that. So chances are he wouldn't be terribly forthcoming in an autobiography. But Harrison wrote a book with Derek Taylor called I, Me, Mine. And Derek Taylor was the Beatles' publicist and spokesman for many, many years. And, it was mostly Derek Taylor interviewing, Harrison. It was okay. you know, I kind of think of the Eric Clapton autobiography when I think of that. The Clapton book was fun to read, but also a lot of surface stuff, not very much depth and insight and introspection. And really, that's what you want in these autobiographies, and that's why the Keith Richards autobiography was so great, because there was quite a bit of it. I mean, he was very full of himself, and like any addict, had a lot of rationalizations for his dysfunctional behavior, but it was quite compelling and quite interesting, and quite a bit of detail in there, and great characters, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I previewed, you know, the Patti Smith book not too long ago, and that was really wonderful. Although it you know, she tells the story of her life as seen through her relationship with Mapplethorpe, but. Right. I would certainly recommend that. So to wrap up, I mean, what are your kind of top three or top five that people of a certain age, old boomers, would like to read?
Well, there's one by Miles Davis by this guy named John Schwett called So What, that I thought was quite good. There was another one by a woman named Alice Eccles. It came out in, I believe, 99 on Janis Joplin, that was really good, called Scars of Sweet Paradise. That was quite good. That was excellent. And the Keith Richards book, which to me is terrific. And I would warn readers to stay away from the audio version because of the switch between one reader and Johnny Depp, and back and forth you could get whiplash because the styles are so different. But as a book to read, that Keith Richards book is terrific. And I doubt that there's going to be a Mick Jagger autobiography ever. Supposedly he had started one, took the advance, and then gave it back because he just wasn't into it.
Ah. Okay, well, Richard, thanks very much. I mean, this is some great info for our generation. Thank you.
My pleasure, Elaine.
Bye.